Well, we want to begin our service tonight. If you'd come on in, let me invite you to stand as we're going to sing together, God is for us. Let's sing.
Lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew
from heaven's throne, acquainted with our sorrow, to trade the debt we owe, your suffering for our freedom. The Lamb of God,
for the Lamb of God. We thank you for the one who came to take away the sins of the world, who offered himself on the cross in the place of we who are guilty sinners, so that you could be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the gospel, and we thank you for the joy tonight of celebrating that gospel in the lives of individuals whom you have redeemed by the power of your grace. Lord, we pray that you would be pleased and honored with all that happens in this hour. And Lord, encourage our hearts, those of us who know and love Jesus. Remind us of what you did in our lives and the power that you have to work in the lives of those we love. And Father, I pray for those who may have gathered with us tonight who don't know you, that in every testimony, as they hear the gospel, they might hear your grace extended to them in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. So we pray for your blessing on this time together, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you back tonight. We're so glad that you're here. This is always such a highlight to hear the testimonies of those who come to faith in Christ. Let me say welcome if you're our guest. We're so glad that you've come to be with us tonight and trust that you'll be encouraged with what you hear as well. But I hope you'll be in prayer for those who are going to share their testimonies. But before they come, let me just remind you of the truth of the gospel. You're going to hear it in each of their testimonies, but it's important that we remind ourselves of its truth before we see baptism, because we want to make sure that we understand that baptism has nothing to do with making us right before God. Paul puts it very succinctly in his letter to the Romans. He first of all starts with the bad news. The bad news, he says, is that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, not one of us is an exception. We've all sinned. That's like a snapshot of our lives. It's as if at any moment in our lives God wanted to, he could take a still photograph and we would be sinning. You say, I don't sin every moment. Well, the truth is we all do. Every moment, because what God requires of us is perfect obedience, perfect love for him, and perfect love for each other. And we fail in that every moment. So we have all sinned by the standard of God and have fallen short of the glory of God. That's more like a video. The Greek word there is more like a video in which again and again we're found falling short of the glory of God. In other words, what God requires of us, obedience to him, our creator, we fail in again and again and again. It's the video of our lives. But then he goes on to the good news. He says, we've all sinned. We are falling short of the glory of God. And then he adds, but we are justified. The word means to be declared right before God. We are justified by his grace. I love that. We are justified by God's grace. In other words, what initiates our salvation is not us. It's not because I was so wonderful that I pursued salvation. It was God's grace that initiated that. And it's only by grace and grace alone that we're saved. And Paul, to make that clear, adds this expression, being justified as a gift by his grace. In other words, salvation, right, being right with God, is not achieved by any action that I do. It's nothing that I perform. It's no good that I can accomplish. It's absolutely nothing in me. I am made right with God as a gift by his grace. You say, how can God do that? How can God be just and just forgive our sin, make us right with him? Well, the answer is he can't. So Paul continues, being justified as a gift by his grace, and then he adds this, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. We are made right with God through the work of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to describe what that work is. He says, this is Romans 3:25, God publicly displayed Jesus as the propitiation for our sins. He's talking about the cross. On the cross, God publicly displayed Jesus as the satisfaction of God's justice against our sins. That's how God can be just and yet justified, declare righteous guilty sinners. And so the gospel is God from beginning to end. He initiated it. He drew us to himself. He sent his son. He offered his son. And he saves us as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So this water adds nothing to that. This is merely an ordinance our Lord gave us, which is a symbol. It's a symbol of what's already happened. And that's what we celebrate tonight, that they have been made right with God through the work of his son. They've confessed Jesus as Lord. And in that moment, they were made new. And that's what going under the water and coming out reminds us of. So I hope as you hear their testimonies tonight, you'll be reminded of that gospel. They are only made right with God as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Ian Sears. I grew up in a family where God's word was taught faithfully. My parents were diligent to teach me the truth contained within God's word, and they clearly presented the gospel to me. I knew the truth, and it did not matter. I was a rampant sinner. I lied with ease, displayed bad attitudes, and frequently exploded in anger at my siblings. My parents saw this and continued to reprimand my sinful actions, encouraging me to repent and believe. I was indeed terrified of hell and dearly wanted a way to be saved from it, but my heart was hard, and I negligently refused to repent, continuing to perform the same sins over and over, never renewing my mind or wanting to change my thought patterns. I was truly dead in my sins. And even though I knew the truth, I was unable to change or do anything about my desperate condition. Romans 8:7-8, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. When I was about 11 years old, after a particularly nasty interaction with one of my siblings, my dad came up to my room and told me that I was not acting the way a believer should. He explained to me the meaning of repentance, and this certainly impacted me. I went up to my bed and prayed to the Lord that he would save me. For years, I did believe that this was a true profession of faith, but looking back, I saw no life change. I was still dead. As I grew older, through the faithful teaching of my parents and the excellent expository preaching from Tom and other wonderful pastors and teachers here at Countryside, I continued to grow in my knowledge of God's word, who God is, and what he expects of us. Eventually, I came not merely to know, but to truly understand the gospel, how God is holy and cannot tolerate sin, and how I am a sinful being desperately in need of a savior. Romans 3:10-11. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. I also came to understand in full that repentance and faith in Christ is the only way to escape the just penalty for sin, which is eternal condemnation to hell. I don't know the specific day I was saved, but I believe it was sometime around my senior year of high school. Around that time, I started to truly desire to know God through his word, reject sin, pursue communion with him through prayer, and fellowship with his people. I was not saved because of anything good in me. I knew the truth, and I rejected it. It wasn't until God called me and regenerated my heart that I responded to the gospel with repentance and faith. Titus 3:5, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Since then, through the Spirit's working and my striving to obey my Lord, and my own efforts only a result of his grace, I'm becoming conformed to Christ. Philippians 2:12-13. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I love spending time in his word to grow in my knowledge of him. I enjoy talking to God in prayer, expressing my gratitude for who he is and what he has done. I also desire to turn my mind from myself and my own comforts to loving others, doing my best to be a blessing to them. Though I have been redeemed by Christ, I am not by any means perfect. The remnants of sin are still in me, but God will perfect his work, and one day I will be sinless before him in his presence, thanking him and praising him forever. In light of these things, I'm here in obedience to my Lord to be baptized.
Well, Ian, because you understand that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but through his mercy shown in Jesus Christ that he saved us, because you've repented and believed in Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Ryan Scriber. I grew up in a charismatic, evangelical, sometimes word of faith kind of church. I had asked Jesus into my heart multiple times and even did the brave altar call a bunch of times, but nothing stuck with me in my heart. My teenage years were tough for me since we had moved around a couple times and I had three different high schools during that time. I became depressed, and during this time I've become addicted to pornography and my sin. This particular sin had taken hold of my life until Christ saved me when I was about 30 years old, which was 4 years ago. During everyone's favorite year of 2020, God used those times for me to start evaluating my life and where I was with Christ. Even though in knowledge I had moved away from wrong thinking to understanding the Bible more clearly, I was taking a hard look at myself and realizing I probably wasn't saved. I had been sharing this internal struggle with my wife, and we believe the Holy Spirit was definitely working in my heart. During that time, we were attending a small church in Southlake called Countryside Bible Church, and the resident pastor, Tom Pennington, was going over a summer series where he was tackling the hard issues of our day, like what is a gender? During this particular sermon, he preached from Romans 1 and verses 24 through 25, convicted my heart. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Tom used, through the scriptures, he showed how sinners are darkened in their minds and dead in their sins. And out of this comes all sort of sexual immorality and idol worship. This sermon convicted me strongly, and I knew that I didn't want pornography and sin to have a hold of my life any longer. I knew that Christ wanted me to confess to him and to my wife my sin and everything that was going on internally. As I was reflecting on this at home, I had told God that I can't do it. I told him I can't do it, and I don't know how to do it. You have to do this for me because I can't do it. And I felt the Holy Spirit remind me that that was kind of the point of the gospel, that we can't save ourselves or even do the right thing without Christ. It seemed to click with me spiritually. It was a light bulb of illumination in my soul. I went to my wife, not knowing how I was going to tell her, but we started talking about the sermon, and everything came out. I was weeping as I confessed sin to my wife and how I had sinned against Christ, and for the first time, I had godly sorrow for my sin as we spoke freely of the gospel and how it's changing me even in that day. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces only death." We believe strongly that this was a true conversion experience where Christ clearly awakened me from my dead heart and my sin, and that he had saved my soul. Today, I have a relationship with Christ, and I actually care about knowing him. I read my Bible and pray and meditate with my wife every morning as part of our daily routine. We are striving to raise our boys to know Christ as we are striving to know him. One of my favorite John Piper quotes that always stuck with me is about, "If when you get to heaven and Christ isn't there, would you even care if he was there or not?" That has stuck with me through the years, and because of Christ's work on the cross, I know I will go to heaven, and I can't wait to meet him. And this is why I'm here tonight, to be baptized.
Ryan, I am so grateful for your sharing your testimony with us, because you understand that only God can save you, that only Christ can redeem our hearts, and because you have repented of your sin and put your faith in him, in his finished work, as your only hope of being right with God, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Christina Mooney. I grew up going to church with my grandparents and went to Catholic school. I saw my grandparents and parents praying regularly and reading their Bible, and I believed that I was a Christian. And later, as an adult, it was important for me to be married in a church and to dedicate my marriage and future family to God. I became a social worker to help others, and I believed that if I went to church, helped others, and was a good person, I would be saved. This is not what I've come to know to be truth, as in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I didn't clearly understand it, but God was working on me and was paving the way towards something greater. I had been continuing to live for this world, but became a new mother and began questioning my Catholic faith. God placed people in my life as a Navy wife far from home that helped to point me to the Lord. They prayed for me and taught me about the gospel, and similarly, during this time, God was using people in my husband's life. Alongside Christian mentors, our faith grew and God led us to a deeper understanding of the gospel. Just as in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Prior to being saved, I was judgmental, lacked humility, and cared about worldly things. Since being saved, I understand I can do nothing without God. When I sinned in the past, I didn't have guilt, and now I understand how loving and patient God is, and I desire to live in a way that is pleasing to Him. It's only through His love that we receive in us that causes us to change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that is why I'm here to be baptized today.
Well, Christina, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. It's clear that you have repudiated any work of your own as a way of being right with God, because you have believed in Christ, that through His work and through the grace of God and the grace of God alone, you are made right with Him, you are saved, because that's your testimony. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is John Mooney. I was raised Catholic, attended Catholic school, and was married in the Catholic Church. I believed in God, and I knew that Jesus died for my sins. However, my life, my actions, and thoughts did not resemble Jesus. My life was characterized by Romans 7:15, which states, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very things that I hate." I routinely gave in to sin and didn't think too much about it until I said my prayers at night, maybe went to confession or attended Mass. After that, I would gladly re-engage in sinful thoughts, actions, and attitudes. Eventually, guilt was present, but I could not stop. After getting married and joining the Navy, God placed several strong Christians in my life, and I began to take notice and ask a lot of questions. And it became clear that God was actually beginning to draw me to Himself, as it is written in John 6:44, which states, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." After moving to Texas, I met a man named Paul. Paul was a church elder. He noticed I was seeking God and that the Holy Spirit was beginning to work in my life. We decided to meet once a week. Paul shared the gospel with me, and we discussed the gospel in depth, starting with the book of John. As I began to read and study the gospel, it was like it was written just for me, and it was clear that I was completely lost without Jesus. In the past, the Bible seemed to be written in a foreign language and would basically put me to sleep. But during this time, God opened my eyes to the gospel and my sin. Four things became crystal clear. First, the gospel is true. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, I am, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Second, that Jesus did die for my sins, and he is the only way to heaven. Third, Jesus really was raised from the dead. Acts 1:3 states, he presented himself alive to them after his sufferings by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And lastly, that I needed the word, the Holy Spirit, and a close relationship with Jesus to combat sin in my life and to participate in helping my family and others find Jesus. Since I turned to Jesus fully, I now thirst for God's word, church service, and fellowship with other Christians. With a true relationship with Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit, I am now actually able to turn away from sin and live a life that is more like Jesus. When I do sin, I run to him for forgiveness. I am now ready to be baptized as a believer and publicly show that I am now alive in Jesus and no longer dead in sin.
Well, John, thank you for the clarity of your testimony that you have understood the basic elements of the gospel, that Christ came, lived, died, and was raised again to save sinners because you've repented of your sins and put your faith in him and in him alone. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is David Zolnov, and I'm here to share my testimony. I'm so blessed that I grew up in a Christian family. In my home, we always read the Bible and prayed. Every week, I went to the church and listened to the sermons. Nevertheless, I was not acting in Christlikeness. Sometimes I was lying, disrespecting my parents, and reacting in irritation. Day by day, God was working through my heart, showed my iniquities, and I was rebuked through my conscience. It was revealed to me by his word that God, our Creator, sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, died on the cross to pay for all of our sins, and he rose again on the third day. The gift of salvation through Jesus Christ became very precious and meaningful in my heart. One of the verses from the Bible taught me about the gospel in the Bible and salvation. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9. In the Bible, it commands me to repent. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Once I had repented of all my sins to the Lord, my next step was to accept him as my Savior and to follow what he commands us through his word. As I grew in faith, I made wiser choices, such as honesty, loving, caring for my parents more, and exercising selflessness. I felt more and more assured of my faith as my belief grew stronger in Christ alone. The Holy Spirit is moving to be the light and salt to this world for God's glory. I'm here to testify that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm here to be baptized.
Well, David, because you have believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, because you have confessed him as Savior and Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, My name is Ivy Hill. Before salvation, I had very little self-control over my thoughts, actions, or speech. Covetousness and anger were common, and sometimes I would spew it out on others, particularly my family. My sinful impatience and habits of procrastination were not only draining me, but also took a toll on my relationships. My life was a perfect example of Proverbs 16:11. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. I was blind to the effects selfishness created in my life and on the people around me. I have read the Bible and have been taught Christian beliefs all my life, but until recently, I never thought deeply about them. There was no specific date on the calendar that I remember receiving faith from God, but I do recall sitting in my room after hours of procrastinating on yet another school assignment and thinking to myself, what is wrong with me, and why do I keep avoiding my homework? At first, I tried doubling my effort at self-control by attempting to work more diligently without God. This was a disaster, as it led only to more rage within my heart at my own failures. Finding myself unable to get free from my habitual sins, I began taking more interest in the church services each week as the scripture was preached and my family discussed it. Hearing and understanding that everyone is either a slave to Satan or a slave to God struck me. As I listened to and read the word of God, I was led to confess my sins to God and acknowledge my desperate need for his saving grace. In this, the Lord revealed to me Romans 7:18, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." He made me aware of my sinful nature, and he also made me aware that, as Romans 5:6 says, at just the right time when we were still powerless or utterly weak or utterly helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. God taught me that he made Jesus, who is sinless, to be sin for me, so that in him I might become the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians 5:12. God made me a believer, as it says in the Gospel of John 1:12, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Since God has given me eternal life in his Son, my motivation for honoring God has transitioned from wanting to honor him so I could have a better character to honoring God because of my love for Jesus. I've begun to think more critically and spiritually during conversations, even questioning some of my friends' speech and challenging their false beliefs with Scripture. I realize that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. My former dread of church and reading the Bible has vanished, and I now long to learn more about my Savior. The Holy Spirit has helped me when I am tempted and has allowed me to have self-control and be more diligent when I originally was incapable. I seek to grow in my relationship with God by daily reading his word and writing applications for my life. I'm currently taking a doctrinal class at home based on John MacArthur's Fundamentals of the Faith, and I have started to pray more alone apart from my family. I also seek to confess and repent of my sins to the Lord and those around me. If it wasn't for the truth of Ephesians 2:8 through 9, I would have no chance to ever know the Lord. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now that I understand that to love God is to obey his commandments, I am obligated to fulfill them to the best of my ability with the help of the Holy Spirit, which includes partaking in baptism. So I am here tonight, grateful to God to be baptized.
Ivy, as you were sharing your story, I couldn't help but think about how the Lord brought Augustine to understand his sin, not through all of the things that he did, but one simple act, and that was the stealing of a single apple, because he realized that he was sinning for sin's sake. And the Lord brought him to see his sin and then brought him to see the gospel. Because you have understood your sin and you've understood the only hope is Jesus Christ. Because your faith is in the only one who did not sin, but who was made sin for us. And you have now been made the righteousness of God in him. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Carter Hill, and this is my testimony. Ever since I can remember, I have thought of myself as a Christian. For me as a child, having Christian parents, going to church every Sunday, and surviving our home Bible study gave me the impression I was legit in my faith. Though my strong moral upbringing somewhat refined my outward actions, my heart was still wicked. I was dead in my transgressions and sins, Ephesians 2:1. I lived entirely for myself. I wanted to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. Whenever my time was interrupted, I threw a fit. I grumbled and I complained. Philippians 2:14 instructs us to do all things without grumbling or complaining, a command which did not define my life. Another difficult law for me was to honor your mother and father, Exodus 20:12. John 3:20 described my state before Christ. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light so that his deeds will not be exposed. I did not want to acknowledge my sin before others or even before myself. I do not know exactly when the Spirit opened my eyes, but I know he has helped me see the truth of Christ and my sin. I finally understood that Jesus Christ is my God, my Savior, and my Lord. I came to realize that I was a sinner, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and that I could not make myself right with a holy God. The Spirit enabled me to accept Christ as my perfect sacrifice because he lived a sinless life, hung on the cross for my sins, and was raised on the third day. He was pierced for my offenses. He was crushed for my wrongdoings. The punishment for my well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds I am healed. Isaiah 53:5. There is no better way to explain the redeeming work of Jesus than in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of Christ. The Spirit took my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh, a heart that loves my God and hates my sin. My conscience convicted me of my sinful lifestyle, and when I was tempted, the Spirit would bring scriptures I had learned to my mind. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is one of my favorites. No temptation has overtaken you except something common to mankind, and God is faithful, so he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he'll provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. I now enjoy reading God's word and meditating on it. Christian responsibilities like praying and fellowshipping are now a joy instead of a burden. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 commands Christians to pray without ceasing. And that is what the Lord is conforming my life to. Whether it be thanks or need, praise or confession, I love communicating with my Heavenly Father through Christ, my High Priest, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, my helper. That is why I am here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Carter, because you have been brought by the work of the Spirit through his word to understand that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, because you've also come to put your faith in the gospel, that you are justified, you're made right with God as a gift by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Chance Worthington. Galatians 5:19-21 states, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I ensnared myself in various immoralities throughout high school between 2014 and May 2018. I had no idea who God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit are. In August of 2018, I attended a Jesus concert as a first week freshman in college. I stood up after the lead singer gave his emotional testimony, believing I was accepting Jesus into my heart. I got plugged into a college ministry. However, I didn't attend a church and consistently stopped attending the college ministry about halfway through the semester. I continued to succumb to my flesh, idolizing relationships and exhibiting a fear of man throughout college. I continued to proclaim a love for Jesus, but I bore no fruits of salvation. Mark 7:5-8 states, "And the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, 'Why do your disciples not walk in accordance with the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with unholy hands?' But he has said to them, 'Rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men.' Believing I was saved, I was baptized in the fall of 21. After graduating college in May 2022, I started attending church in Granbury throughout the summer of 2022. I found a church in Bedford in October 22. However, I still hadn't realized I had refused to place my trust in Jesus. I only went to church when I had to serve, not because I wanted to learn more about God and his word. I had a vending machine view of God, only prayed to God or sought him when I required something of him. Nobody in my old church shared the gospel with me, and I continued to idolize relationships and exhibit unrepentant fear of man. God led me to Countryside through a coffee shop I frequented. In late May of 23, I met Lori, Preston, and Dale, and they invited me to 128. There, Lori and Preston shared the gospel with me, that God is perfectly holy, man has broken God's law through sin, deserves the perfect judgment of God, that Jesus is God's son, and his sacrifice on the cross forgives us for our sin. And repenting of our sin and trusting Jesus as our Lord and Savior grants us eternal life. I fully understood the gospel message in late June of 23 and repented of my sin and trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I came to one of Tom Pennington's last sermons on 1 John. After Tom finished 1 John, some 128ers got together to read it. 1 John 1:6-7 resonated with me. 1 John 1:6-7 states, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin." I realized I had walked in darkness throughout college with a false testimony and recognized the difference Christ had made in my mind and my life even in that short period as a true believer. Since coming to Christ last June, others and I have seen the fruit in the Holy Spirit within me. Galatians 5:22-24 states, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. God led me away from a weaker charismatic church and into Countryside with regular attendance. Understanding God's love, I now desire relationship with him over temporal relationships. I understand the importance of the gospel and regularly share the gospel message with friends, coworkers, and family. I seek to know the character of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit more through Sunday school and partners. I understand the depth of my sin and the impact of my transformation in Christ, and that's why I'm here to be baptized."
Well, Chance, thank you for telling us how God worked in your life and the different churches and circumstances he used to ultimately bring you to the truth. Thank God for faithful Christians who met you and shared the gospel with you because you have believed that simple gospel that Christ and his work on the cross is your only hope of being right with God. Because you've repented and believed in him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Andrew Charlton. I have considered myself a Christian throughout almost my entire life. I got baptized by sprinkling as a baby, and when I was 8, I made a public profession of faith and was baptized by immersion. However, this was not a legitimate confession, and I did not truly repent of my sins. Throughout my childhood and teenage years, I went to church and church events consistently, studied and memorized huge chunks of the Bible, and maintained a somewhat consistent prayer life, but I lived only for my own desire and pleasure, and struggled with sins of lust, sloth, and pride, among many others. My life resembled that of the Pharisees that our Lord criticized in Luke 11:39, saying, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." When I went off to college and didn't have my parents to guide me, all my sin issues became worse and began to negatively affect other areas of my life. I'm confident that God used this to show me that I could not do life on my own, but in my pride, I stubbornly resisted his call for a while. It was only in the middle of my junior year, when my academic and social life was crumbling around me, that I realized that I couldn't just pretend everything was fine. I needed God, and he finally gave me the strength to humble myself and admit that to him, as well as to my parents and my college pastor. I cried out to God for help, repenting of my many sins, and in his grace, he answered me. Despite the fact that I deserved nothing but punishment for my many sins and rebellion against him, God was willing to sacrifice his son so that I could be reconciled to him, as 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21 says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Since my salvation, the Holy Spirit has empowered me to tackle sin in my life, reducing my desire to sin and the intensity of those sins. He has empowered me to take steps to reduce or eliminate certain sinful behaviors in my life that were previously common, such as listening to bad music and using foul language. I have also seen an increased motivation to grow closer to God and a more kind, forgiving, and self-controlled than I used to be. God has given me strength to strive toward his standards set out in Romans 12:2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Before my salvation, I went to church just to see my friends or because my family was going, and prayer or studying God's word were both chores that I often ignored. Since my salvation, I am more engaged in church, and my time in the word and in prayer has become much more consistent, frequent, and fulfilling. I've also largely replaced listening to bad music with listening to sermons, and I've worked to make my prayers less self-focused by praying for others and by praising God for all the many blessings that he has given to me. And for all these reasons, I have come today to be baptized.
Well, Andrew, because you were brought to see your sin, to understand its reality, but to see the invitation of the gospel. I love that you quoted 2 Corinthians 5, that God pleads with us to be reconciled to him, because God in his grace has not only given you that invitation, but moved in your heart to respond to that invitation. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Melissa. I had grown up in the church, but I was never explained what the gospel was. I was given a list of things I needed to do in order for me to be able to ask Jesus into my heart, including being baptized, but not why it was necessary. My life was filled with disobedience to Christ and a desire to please myself and other people with little thought to Christ or his commandments. When I was around 19 years old, I met my first husband, who was sadly killed in a fatal car crash a few years later. He was the first person I had ever met that actually told me about the gospel and showed how the entire Bible pointed to Jesus and our need for a perfect sacrifice. It was the first time in my life I actually acknowledged my sin and my need for a Savior. Like Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I learned that Christ alone was the only one who could save me from my patterns of constantly defying his commandments. Since coming to Christ these many years ago, my life has changed dramatically. I daily see my need for our perfect Savior who willingly laid his life down for me. I see it so clearly in all of my relationships, especially parenting, And it is so sweet the way the Lord is constantly changing and molding me to be more like him. I have a real desire to study the word and with his attempt, to study the word and to attempt with his help to apply it to my life. I desire to serve the church and to help equip my sons as my husband and I parent them with God's law and the redemption we have through Jesus as the center. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. I give all the glory to Christ, and I am incredibly thankful for this gift, so I can boldly approach the Father clothed in his grace. The words from one of my favorite songs summarizes my story well. Now the curse, it has been broken. Jesus paid the price for me. Full the pardon he has offered. Great the welcome I receive. This is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Melissa, because you understand the reality of the law, that God has given us his law and that we have broken it and that we deserve its penalty. But you also, as you mentioned so well, have understood the gospel, that only Jesus can save us from the justice of God that we deserve. And because your faith is in Jesus and his sacrifice alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, I am Ben Travers. I'm grateful that I was raised in a godly home. I learned the facts of the gospel at an early age, but it wasn't until I was about 10 that this knowledge started to affect me. At the time, I attended astronomy class, through which I got a glimpse of the greatness of God and my own insignificance. This kindled a dread of God. I knew I was a sinner who deserved the just wrath of a perfectly holy God. I knew my only hope of rescue was through Jesus' substitutionary death on the cross. That night, I prayed the sinner's prayer and was baptized shortly after. However, something was missing. Even though I knew the facts of the gospel, I dreaded God as an enemy. I was like the demons in James 2:19 who believe and shudder. I kept a pile of gospel tracts and would often pray multiple sinner's prayers, hoping that one of them would work. I was often haunted by questions like, what does it really mean to believe? And perhaps I didn't mean it last time. Maybe a prayer in a different tract will work better? Meanwhile, my life was producing bad fruit. I couldn't have cared less about my sin. I was a habitual liar and spent a great deal of effort figuring out new ways to cover up my sin. When I'd get caught, I only cared that I got caught. Instead of listening to wisdom, I'd simply take a mental note of how to hide my sin better next time. I was like the stiff-necked fool described in Proverbs 29:1. As I grew older, I became increasingly comfortable with my sin. I started to look to my experience at the astronomy class as proof that I was a true Christian, simply because I had believed the facts of the gospel. Fast forward to my early 20s, I had become increasingly dissatisfied with my life. Things were not going the way I wanted. Having grown up in legalistic circles, I might have looked good on the outside. I rarely missed a church service and often took copious notes, not because I was particularly interested, but to pass the time. Secretly, however, I had developed a habitual pattern of sin I couldn't escape. My life was plagued by lust. I was described by Ephesians 5:5 as one who has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. For this you know with certainty that no sexually immoral or impure or greedy person, which amounts to an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. I was enslaved and felt constant guilt. I had tried just about everything to rid myself of my sin, and no matter how hard I tried to control my sin or my life, I was completely powerless to do so. I remember coming to a point where I told God that if he wanted to change me, he would have to do it because I simply couldn't. I was absolutely powerless to deliver myself from the slavery of sin. Around the same time, I came to a point where I was confronted with a decision. Was I going to continue to try to rule my life, or was I going to let it all go and follow Christ, no matter what it would cost? I now realize it was somewhere around this time that the Spirit bore new life in me. I followed Christ's clear command in Mark 1:15 to repent and believe in the gospel. I repented from the idolatry and submitted to Christ. Luke 9:23 says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Overnight, I was freed from the patterns of sin that had enslaved me. I was no longer a slave to sin, but actually had the freedom to obey Christ. Romans 6:22 says, "But now having been freed from the sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life." I started to experience true joy and contentment and started to love the fellowship of the saints. Since that time, my life, though not perfectly, has continued to bear the fruit of righteousness. I'm no longer a slave to my old patterns of sin and have continued to spend daily time in the Word and prayer, enjoy listening to sermons and audiobooks. I take joy in serving with and fellowshipping with other believers. For several years, I didn't understand what brought about this transformation in my life. I grew up in churches which minimized the repentance as part of saving faith and always had questions in the back of my mind as to what had happened. I never gave it much thought until I started attending Countryside and started to learn how repentance is a critical component of true saving faith. Although it seems obvious to me now, it took a while for things to click and for me to understand that I didn't have true saving faith until my early 20s. In light of this, I am here tonight to be baptized, this time as a true follower of Jesus Christ.
Well, Ben, we rejoice that you came to understand you needed more than the faith of demons. You needed more than historical faith that embraces the facts of the gospel, but rather a personal faith in the Redeemer, because you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, those are wonderful testimonies, aren't they? So exciting to see what the Lord has done. I hope you'll pray for them in the days ahead. If you see them around tonight or in the weeks to come, thank them and just let them know that you'll be praying for them. If you're here tonight and you're not a follower of Christ, you have heard the good news 11 different ways, 12 counting mine at the beginning. You may have heard your story in one of the stories you heard tonight. My prayer for you is that before your head hits the pillow tonight, you will repent and believe in Jesus as Savior, your only Savior and Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are overwhelmed by your grace, that you would pursue, that you would seek sinners like us, trapped, enslaved in sin, dead to you, dead in sin, Lord, your enemies, that you would pursue us and that you would draw us through the gospel to yourself. Lord, thank you for these 11 powerful stories of how you have done just that. Lord, for those of us who are also true followers of Christ, encourage us. Challenge us. Lord, encourage us in our own salvation and open our mouths to share that message with others, as some were faithful to do in the lives of these who've shared their testimonies tonight. And Father, for those who don't know you, may you do what only you can do. May you bring life where there's death. Lord, may you draw them through the gospel they have heard tonight, powerfully, inexorably, irresistibly to yourself, so that they would truly repent and believe in your Son, the only Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Well, let's stand together as we close.
That saved a wretch like me.
What a wonderful evening together, hearing those testimonies. We are done, but Awana is still going for a few more minutes, so enjoy a little extra fellowship time, and they will end at about 7:30. You are dismissed.
Highest heights or darkest deep, be there pain.